Blog Talk Radio.
Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And we are we've got 6 weeks left in the season. It is absolutely amazing how quickly things are just flying by. And we've got a great show for you this evening. We're going to go through, obviously, all the waiver wire pickups, which for those of you who want those, usually by the time the show is starting, we are publishing them. Tonight, they're probably right after the show is over, they will be published. They obviously, the post gets published at 6 a.m. the Monday morning, but they're out on Prospect 361 for all to see late this evening by the latest. And I know everybody wants them out earlier, but I put them out there within minutes when I get them from Mr. McLeod. So he's got, you know, we don't do this full time. So this is, we put them out when we get them. And if they're not out there fast enough for you guys, we apologize. If you want to, so we've got waiver wire. We've also got what happened to some of these guys. We started it off last week with Bryce Harper. We're going to talk about some other guys that we drafted early in the draft, and they just have not performed. And we don't know why, but we're going to talk about maybe, are they going to correct themselves? What do we do next year when their names come up? So we're going to be talking about them and just a lot of other good stuff that will come up. If you want to get did I do that already? If you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is on the Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. If you want to get a hold of the great Tim McLeod, at TimothyLMC, at TimothyLMC. If you want to go out and join our Facebook group, it is Prospect 361 Dynasty League Groups. Just simply knock on the door on Facebook, and the great Alan Servinus will let you in. He does that probably about once a week. If you're desperate to get in and want to do some crowdsourcing of questions, just simply give me a shout on Twitter, and I will be happy to open that up for you. For some reason, the interactive chat room is not launching on my computer this evening. Hopefully that does not come this evening. Hopefully, because I can't tell if we're having any issues at all with the sound quality. But anyway, that's that. I went to some games this week. I've been seeing a ton of games here recently after I got my life back together. I'm starting to write up capsules for this fall. So all that will start in October. And so hopefully you guys will start looking forward to that. I think I've got most of the top 10s in some working order. I've got probably about 30 to 40 names in each team, and then I'm going through and trying to order those. So I don't have all top 10 done, but usually in most systems, the top 5 to 7 write themselves, and then there's always some surprises as you go through. And then you got the Baltimore Orioles, and you know, some systems like that are just ugly. The Marlins system is not very good either. So you know, there's in the Angel system as well. God, I mean, Angel system is terrible. I think I saw somebody tweet out that Michael Phelps will be the number one prospect in the in the Angels organization. He probably would be, just on talent alone. I've enjoyed so much watching the Olympics, though I had to turn it off this morning, late morning, as waiting for the baseball games to come on, as they turned on synchronized swimming, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Before we bring on Tim, let me just talk about our good friends at SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts have been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come a long way and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is the place that I go to all the time. I've bought a bunch of tickets. We're now deciding on our, I think it's the September 18th game in Charlotte to go watch the Carolina Panthers play. I've got an alert set on that. And as soon as they drop to the price range I'm interested in, then I will jump on those tickets. I will not be buying any in the upper deck because I hate sitting in those very high, steep places. So I'll get something either on the ground level or just one level up. So I put some alerts in for that. They'll tell me when it hits my price range. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparisons for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that's in your budget. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. This is what you do. Simply download the SeatGeek application. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code 361. That's 361. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. And when they did it, they sent it via PayPal. I got it probably 2 days after I purchased the tickets. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code 361 today. Let's bring in the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you?
Good, Rich. Yourself?
I'm doing terrific.
Well, excellent, excellent. Yeah, no, busy day today, running a little bit late with the waiver wire stuff, but I got it to you. I got an audit tomorrow. Once a quarter, they don't trust me enough to let it go any longer than that. They like counting to make sure that they have their product, so certainly got
swamped
with that.
They don't trust the great Tim McLeod. Tim, do you need me to be a reference for you?
Yeah, and if, as a matter of fact, Rich, if you have anything to do with payroll, yeah, we'll talk later, okay?
Okay, absolutely, Timmy. How's your baseball week going? I have not checked your Tout Wars team. How's life over there?
Hallelujah, we finally had a good week. Charlie Blackman's tearing it up. And
oh, my gosh, yeah.
I picked up 10 points this week, so I'm at the point where if I have another couple of good weeks, I can probably get back in the hunt. But it's just enough to buoy my enthusiasm and get me all pumped up for the stretch run. And it's nice to see because my team it's been decimated by injuries, and it's sort of coughed and sputtered its way along. But hopefully we can be strong down the stretch.
Yes, Charlie Blackman won me some money today on FanDuel. So every
Excellent.
Once in a while I'll go out and play, and I had him and Taylor Rourke going. So big
Ooh.
Winners for me today.
Yeah, and you know you got to like that kid in Detroit, eh? Wow.
Michael Fulmer, I didn't have the courage to play him. I mean, I forgot who he was playing, but I didn't like the matchups and shutout.
Yeah. Shut him down
Texas.
Over nine.
He was at Texas, Timmy. That shouldn't happen at Texas.
No. Well, it goes to prove the old axiom that, you know what, if you're pitching well, does it really matter what park you're in? And he was throwing BBs.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's got – I mean, I always thought when I went back and reread my stuff, maybe I was undersold him. I thought a chance to be a high number three, maybe a number two. And, Tim, he was a solid number two. This is a top 20 pitcher in Major League Baseball right now.
Well, yeah, if the Tigers are gonna do damage, it's going to be largely, because of his efforts. And amazing. Just absolutely loving it. You know what? Ben Attendee's off to a good start. I like what I'm seeing with the kid.
I know. He's off to a good start, but I mean, Fulmer's running away with Rookie of the Year. He might be just a unanimous pick, but I got to tell you, Joey Musgrove, Timmy, that dude's, three in a row, two against the Toronto Blue Jays. That's impressive.
Well, yeah, totally impressive. I watched the game, and the ball was dancing all over the place. He was keeping it down in the zone. Velocity was good. Poise was excellent, especially considering the lineup he was facing. You know, he was facing a pretty fair-hitting team, even though they haven't been hitting that great lately. But, you know, there's some big bats there, and he looked very impressive. As a matter of fact, we got a couple shutouts on the Facebook page, and I tossed them all back at you, Rich, because that's your call. Well done.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're talking about the recommendation. Yeah, Fulmer recommendation as well. So, yeah, we hit on a couple of them, Timmy. Makes us feel good. But I do have a guess the player. I got to get down to the did I put that in the notes? I don't know.
No, but I'm very well accustomed to finishing second in this competition, Rich. So, hey, spring one at me anytime. The worst I can do is second. I'll live with that.
All right, let me get to this guy, Timmy, because this even surprises me. I'm going to give you a bit of a hint on this, Timmy, but this is a guy, after 107 games, he's batting .260. Yeah, you go, that's not so good. Slugging .513 with 22 home runs and 6 stolen bases. Now, that could be a lot of people, Timmy, but I'm going to give you a hint. This guy's a shortstop. So
wait,
I got to start the music. Do not start guessing yet until I start the music, because we have to add intrigue. Now, Timmy, this is a shortstop,
right.
22 home runs,
yes.
6 stolen bases. Batting average is good, .260. This guy has never broken out like he has this year. Who is this guy?
He works in the bread industry, correct? He's a miller?
He is a miller. It's Mr. Brad Miller, Timmy. Somebody actually posted that on the Facebook page and kind of – I got to turn off the music here. Hold on. And, I mean, pretty amazing, because this is me personally. In one of my dynasty leagues, I had him a shortstop, and that's why I traded for Trey Turner, because I was tired of 13 home runs from Brad Miller. Tim, he's going to hit at least 25. He might even get close to 30.
So we have you to thank for his breakout season.
No, because I would have dropped him, Timmy. Then you would have me to think, because for some reason I did not drop him. He's still in my cousins. As you know, Trey Turner didn't come up for a long time, and now he's not even shortstop eligible in CBS. So, because he wasn't shortstop eligible this year, he's only played one game at shortstop this year.
Yeah, second base, outfield, yeah. And Turner's playing well as well. Is that DL2 by any chance?
That's DL1. Timmy, I am, not to be inside baseball here, I'm right on your heels in DL2. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to stream starting pitching, and we'll take care of that right smartly, Rich.
Timmy's got 121. Mr. Wilson has 118. Never, I don't think, has Mr. Wilson ever finished in front of Mr. McLeod in a fantasy league. Has this ever happened to him?
I'm not sure, Rich. I really don't keep track of it that close. It's pretty funny, because every once in a while somebody asks me, well, how many leagues did you win, or this and that, and how did you do? I usually have to go back and look, because once the season is over, it's pretty well over, and we start on the next one. So I really don't keep track of all that stuff. All I know is I've won a few in the past, and I know you've won a few.
So, Timmy, as me being a shallow man and a very spiteful man, as you know, because you know me very well, you probably beat me in 20 leagues. If I beat you this year, you'll never hear the end of it.
I know what the next teacher will say. I kicked Tim McLeod's butt, and I'm proud
exactly.
of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Timmy, so Olympics, we talked about it last week. You know, I've seen some Canadian victories out there. The Canadians are doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, we swim real good, considering all of our lakes and rivers are covered in ice for 8 months of the year, and not bad at all.
Did you, speaking of swim, Timmy, I wish I could have got this clip, but I wasn't able to. Did you hear the broadcast in Canada where the guy messed up?
No, I missed it. I really haven't been watching the Olympics.
Oh, my gosh.
This
is the best, and you just got to go out to YouTube or something and just type in Canadian broadcaster messes up Michael Phelps' race. So you know Michael Phelps, right, Tim? You know, he's won like 23 gold medals or something. He's an American, but he's amazing.
How can you not know Michael Phelps?
He was racing in a finals couple of days ago, and Timmy, he is so far out in the lead, you can't even see the second place guy. I mean, an easy victory.
Right.
And then the Canadian broadcaster's going, Michael Phelps is in fourth place. He's in fifth place. He's not even going to make it to the medal stand. This is unbelievable. This is unprecedented. He's going on and on and on. And then the race is over, and there's dead silence. He goes, excuse me, I made a mistake. Michael Phelps won. Just like that. It was the funniest
thing. I'm sorry. Boo-boo. Oops. Ooh, can we recall this one, one of those?
It is so fantastic. Timmy, I'll tweet it out. You got to watch. It's only like 20 seconds. It makes your country look really bad, and it's so funny. And the guy apparently took it all in stride the next day. He was joking about himself and so forth, which is great. It was all in good fun, but it was very, very funny.
Well, you know, that's the Canadian way. You know, if you can't poke fun at yourself, you really don't deserve the right to poke fun at anybody else, correct?
That is correct. I'm looking at, Tim, you've won two gold medals. You got 12 total.
Yeah, no, we're doing fine. I'm just not an Olympic sort of guy. I don't know. Maybe I watched too much synchronized swimming in my youth, Rich. I don't know.
I had to turn it off. I was watching the Olympics late morning, waiting for the games to come on. I didn't go to a game today, and I forgot what was on. And then synchronized swimming. And Tim, I watched like two competitors doing it. It was bizarre. I mean, I was impressed, but I'm like, I can't watch this. This is like too strange for me. So I turned it off and went to actually watching replays of yesterday's baseball games, waiting for today's games to come on.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm thinking, Rich, and it's something I think we should lobby for in the future, okay? What we need is a fantasy baseball, okay? Mm-hmm. In the Olympics, okay? I think it's time, you know? Like, hey, it's a sport that's been around 25 years. Old guys like us can partake. And, like, hey, what's wrong with that? You know, it's better than synchronized horseshoes or whatever else they got, right?
That's absolutely true. Well, baseball is coming in 4 years, so we'll see. Minor leaguers will be playing out there, so that should be a lot of fun. But, Timmy, also this weekend, A-Rod played his last game. Your thoughts, did you see the game? It was nationally televised.
It's not his last game. It was his last game as a Yankee, but...
Last game as a Yankee, but not his last game.
Well, I don't know. He's so close to 700, Rich. Did you really think he's going to walk away from that? I don't.
But who's going to hire him? Is it going to be your buddy?
How could you break the 20,000 seat attendance mark in Miami? Okay. Answer that question. You know, get A-Rod there for his 700th home run, right?
Yeah, I would think that makes sense. The problem is, I think Don Mattingly was saying that he thinks he can play first base, so that seemed to be a tell right there. But he's done. I mean, he's just really done.
Yeah, I think the gracious approach after everything we've seen and heard the past week or two would be just to say, no, I'm finished. I've done everything I can. Life has been good, but somehow in the back of my mind, I say, well, 700, is that close? Is his ego going to let him, you know, is he going to walk away from that opportunity, or is he going to take it? And in the back of my mind, it says he'll take it.
I don't know if you've noticed, Timmy, but since the All-Star break, the Yankees have actually been playing fairly well. They got destroyed today, 12-3, but they made history on Saturday, back-to-back home runs. With Tyler Austin, followed by the big man. And Timmy, he is a big man. I have met the man in person. This is a gigantic person, and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, what an amazing debut, eh? Back-to-back homers. That's got to keep the Yankee faithful happy for at least a week or two, right?
I think, you know, I mean, I'm in the New York market, Timmy, and I will tell you, there's quite the buzz about the Yankees. In fact, the Yankees have all of a sudden pushed the Mets off the back pages. The Mets are doing terrible, and everybody's really pissed off at Terry Collins. And I think they're excited about Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge, and Tyler Austin probably a little less, but they're definitely excited about what's happening. Aaron Judge hit his second home run today.
Right, and, yeah, you know, they got this kid at shortstop who's playing really, really well. Gregorius is playing. If I'm not mistaken, you know, granted, Derek Jeter played there for 40 years, but they're getting a lot of home run production out of that position. I think he's up to 15 now, and I don't know where he was batting today in the lineup, but I know on Saturday they had him in the cleanup spot. So
he's batting, he was batting. He was batting third today. Castro was hitting in the cleanup spot. McCann in the number five hole. But Gregorius, you know, I was a little light on him. I thought there'd be 12 to 15 home run power. I didn't anticipate 18 to 20 home run power, Timmy. And you know, there could be a little bit more in the tank.
Well, yeah, I've got him in a couple leagues. One league, he's on my bench, and I'm going to have to get him active very smartly.
So what are your thoughts on people picking up? I haven't looked at your waiver wire list yet, but Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Tyler Austin, 1, 2, 3. If they're all sitting in your waiver wire, who would you go picking up first, second, and third? Tyler Austin, Gary Sanchez, and Aaron Judge.
If I was looking at that, it would depend on my catching situation. If I happen to own a real catcher or a two catcher set, then Sanchez gets bumped down a bit. But how many real catchers are out there this year, especially in two catcher sets? So I would have to go Sanchez first, simply because of position scarcity. And I think at catcher, he's gonna be a big improvement probably over your number two. Then follow that up with Judge, a very, very solid second, and back at distance would be Austin.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I have, Timmy. I mean, you can argue Aaron Judge number one, but I've seen this movie many, many times, Timmy, and guys like Aaron Judge, particularly with the Yankees, will hit a couple, three, four home runs in the first 2 weeks, and then the league's going to adjust to him, and then we're going to see some massive, massive strikeouts before hopefully he'll adjust in the future. So now is the time to own him, but I don't feel good about it long term. And Tyler Austin, he's a nice little player. I've always liked him. And he's a guy that really messed up his hamstring 2 years ago. And he couldn't get any power from his lower half. That's now fixed.
Okay.
So I do like Tyler Austin a lot. He's a distant second and a distant third from Aaron Rodgers to me.
Well,
Aaron
Rodgers, I guess
Aaron Judge. Excuse me, I went to football real quick. Aaron Judge.
Yeah, who is this football dude you're talking about?
I guess
my concern with Austin is it looks like he's going to be playing the bulk of his time at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, Teixeira is still around until the end of the year. So I think he's going to have some challenges when it comes to at-bats, as compared to Judge, who I think is going to start every day. And that for me is the difference right away. But, you know, it makes for a very, very interesting discussion looking at 2017, because the Yankees have this Greg Bird kid.
Mm-hmm.
who should be ready. And it'll be interesting to see how Bird and Austin fit into the equation, especially if Austin has a really good 6 week run, right?
I think that's what they want to find out, if he can play or not. If he can't play, they'll probably move him. Austin can play a little outfield. He came up as a third baseman actually, but he can play a little outfield. But they've got to do something with Gardner next year. But you could see Ellsbury in center, because no one's going to take his contract, I'm assuming. And potentially Austin in left and Judge in right. There's a possibility of that. But all of a sudden you've got Clint Frazier that's in AAA now. I mean, there's a chance we see him by midseason. So Austin, Tyler Austin in the Dynasty League format, Timmy, I mean, he's got a really, really narrow window to make noise and really solidify his spot, or it's going to be gone in a hurry.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's now or never time for Mr. Austin, and I hope he succeeds. I always like rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So Yankees are actually doing something, Tim, that is really good. And, again, I don't know if those two guys are in your waiver wire article, but we'll find that out a little bit later. A little bit of a sad news to me. I was really bummed. And again, it's no surprise. But Prince Fielder, is the career is over. I mean, he basically said he's done. And I guess one of the stranger, eerier kind of stats of all time is he retires with 319 home runs, the exact same amount as Cecil Fielder, his father, when he retired. So that's kind of creepy, Tim, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is a little bit bizarre, to say the least. I figured Prince would waltz right by him and like nothing, and then all of a sudden we are brought back down to earth, and the realization that hey, you never know. Your next game could be your last in any professional sport, couldn't it?
Yeah, it sure can. And it's a shame because, I mean, everybody wants to go out on their own terms. But to go out, you know, when you're not, he's not in his prime. He's over past his prime. I guess if he was in better shape, we'll get to that in a minute, Timmy. But he still was, I think, 2020 is his last year he signed through. So the Texas Rangers are still on the hook for still a lot of money. I know they've got insurance on some of it, but he's still owed a lot of money.
Well, yeah, he's not going to retire a pauper. That ain't going to happen.
But I do think it helps the Rangers, Timmy, because this was an anchor around their neck. Now they believe in Joey Gallo. You could see him coming up next year. They've got a lot of young guys still coming up that can play. Mazzara could move into a first base. They got Ronald Guzman, who's in double A now. He's a potential, and now that frees it up. And let's assume 80% of the money was insured. So financially, they're going to be in a lot better shape. So I guess probably privately, they're probably pretty pleased with this.
Well, if they're not going to get the return on their investment, this is probably cutting their losses in the best way. I'm shocked, though, Rich. You forgot to mention Mitch Moreland.
Oh, yeah, Mitch Moreland. That's right, the affable Mitch Moreland. He was on my Dynasty League team. He's not Dynasty, NFBC team. He never plays.
So. Ah, okay, but he's consistently good at it, though.
Yeah, that's very true. So, Timmy, one of the things I wanted to talk about with Prince Fielder, I mean, and guys like Prince Fielder, we're seeing this now with A.J. Reed. You got Matt Adams, with the St. Louis Cardinals. Just beefy men who are just very, very large. And you do worry, Pablo Sandoval, another, though I've heard the reports out he's lost 20 pounds since, being injured. But professionals, athletes, particularly baseball athletes who are very large people, unless your name is David Ortiz, it doesn't end well. Those are very short careers, sometimes a very high peak, but then they fall off very, very quickly. In other words, they don't age well at all.
No, you know, and if Pavel Sandoval lost 20 pounds, that would bring him down to just being overweight, right?
Exactly. So now instead of obese, he's overweight. That's probably factually correct. But, I mean, Prince Fielder, I do worry about some of these large guys, these young large guys and people investing heavily in them in Dynasty League and Keeper League teams. Just know that that's what happens a lot of times. They just don't age well.
Well, you're talking about an awful lot of weight on ankles, knees, hips. You know, take a look at CeCe. At CeCe in New York, you know, the joints will only handle that for so long. And I think the first alert that I had to, you know, like big guys in the game was probably Mo Vaughn.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And you know, I can remember just absolutely loving Mo Vaughn and that uppercut swing. And he was a big boy as well. He'd hammer the ball a mile. But when it was time to go, it wasn't a gradual fade, you know, into the distance. It was like, okay, bye, you're gone. It's 1 year you hit 35 home runs, the next year you hit 10 home runs, and the year after that, you're sitting on a beach drinking pina coladas. And that's the way it is with the big boys. And if you want to invest heavily in them, you are playing with fire. At some point in time, I strongly believe, as you've mentioned, that, you know, they hit the wall. And parts start breaking. And once those parts start breaking, there's trouble. And it's not a gradual decline into AARP material.
No, and what's sad, I remember, you know, I've had people read my stuff, and I talk about bad bodies. And
people,
that's a little harsh, but that's what, in scouting, that's what you call it. You got bad bodies. I mean, AJ Reed, body. I think he lost 20 or 30 pounds at the beginning of the season. At least that's what we heard. I mean, if you've seen him on television, I had not seen him play this year. He was, I think you can see a little bit of lost weight, at least from what I saw him. But, Tim, he's a big dude, man, and you worry about just the overall health of him and, you know, whether he'll get, you know, to free agency and still be the kind of projection we think he'll be. So just keep that in mind as you're investing in these players.
Yeah, no, I agree. Did you see the incident with A.J. Reed in Toronto this weekend? I felt so sorry for the poor female police officer.
Tell me about it, Tim. I don't know if I saw it.
Okay, he was running for a foul ball.
Oh, right. She ran into him, though, and he just plowed her over.
Well, yeah, she tried to get out of the way, and he sort of, sort of ran her over a little bit. I'm sure there was an apology or two involved, but hey, the cop took it pretty good. She was smiling.
Yeah, that's great. So, it does happen. So anyway, hopefully Prince Fielder will have a great retirement, Timmy. And it's again sad that he's had the injury and he's over. But talking about injury, Michael Walker has not been very good this year. Now we find out maybe why he hasn't. He's that dreaded shoulder issue that was there a couple of years ago is back. And in fact, I've read a report that the Cardinals are so worried about his shoulder injury and why it keeps happening that they're thinking about changing his pitching mechanics around him just to try to keep him healthy.
Well, you know, if that's what it takes, we've seen what the current mechanics are bringing. And if that is the issue, that might be the only way that he can sustain a lengthy career in baseball.
Yeah, but Tim, he got good with the mechanics he had coming in. So you worry it's not easy to change somebody's pitching mechanics. Because that's part of the deception they have, and they've been doing it their whole life. So it's easy to say on paper, hey, we're going to change your pitching mechanics. Okay, a lot harder to do, like really to do it.
Well, yeah, I would have to think that if they were going to look at something like that, it would be a 2-year project.
Potentially. I mean, they probably wouldn't keep him out 2 years, but I think if you're, for us in our game, Timmy, I got to be a little worried if I'm a dynasty league owner or a guy in a keeper league, Michael Walker, just the injury and now talk about changing his mechanics. I'm like trying to sell him, I think.
Well, yeah. And you know what? You look at shoulder injuries. Okay. And they're the worst. There's no other way to describe it. Wasn't Hyunjin Ryu supposed to be back mid-April?
Yeah, he's not back yet, Tim. I think we had a bet on that. I mean, I think we both agreed that he wouldn't be back. You said he wouldn't be back the rest of the year, which probably is going to be the case.
Well, yeah, Michael Brantley.
Yes.
You start looking at these shoulder injuries, and, you know, they can be career-ending, and I certainly wouldn't be in a dynasty league. Hey, the only way you're going to move Michael Walker right now is to take 10 cents on the dollar. Your best bet is to probably hold him and hope something changes, either from a health situation, which doesn't look likely, or they work on his mechanics, because Michael Walker's value in a dynasty right now is virtually nil, right?
I think it's tough, Timmy. I think if somebody's sending you a request and it's not something for 20 cents on the dollar, I wouldn't even listen to it, because we don't even know if he's going to be back next year, because he was out almost a full year last time this happened.
Well, yeah, and you know, the game keeps moving forward, and you know, as much as we've seen some great stuff from Waka, there's a couple pitchers in St. Louis that are just about ready to ascend into full-time gigs, aren't there?
Yeah, so Timmy, I'm watching the Olympics as we're doing the show, and they just ran the 100 meters finals, which is, you know, one of the glamour events of the games. And this Ersan Bolt, have you heard of him, the Jamaican? He wins all the time?
Yeah, he's won three in a row. Yeah, he bolts to the finish line.
Yeah, he just clipped the American, Justin something or another. And it's really not fair to me. This guy is 6'5". He's just got really long legs. And everybody else he's racing again is 5 or 6 inches shorter than him. It's like we're putting Jose Altuve up against a really long, really tall guy. It's almost not fair.
Oh, yeah, but it takes this tall guy twice as long to get into the blocks and twice as long to stand up. So he's at a big disadvantage, right?
Actually, interesting to me, the first 50 yards, he's never in the lead. And then all of a sudden, the last 50 meters, he just closes the gap and goes right by everybody. It's absolutely amazing to watch him.
Well, yeah, it's obviously he uses that that height and stride to his advantage in that last 25 to 50 meters, right?
That's absolutely true. So, Timmy, so we got Waka down. We're worried about that. Luke Weaver gets the call. So does Alex Reyes, who is the flamethrower. He's hitting 100 miles an hour in his relief. So Luke Weaver goes on Saturday, pitched okay. Timmy made it through 4 innings. Alex Reyes comes in and literally blows everybody away, this is the Cubs, by the way, not a crummy little team. I think three
right.
innings, one hit, one walk, struck out three. And Timmy, the stuff was flat out nasty. It was Javier Baez that he did a running fastball. I think it was like 98 miles an hour. And Javier Baez just sat there and watched it go by. And Javier Baez has got great bat speed. He just, like, shook his head. I mean, he couldn't even, like, he didn't even see the movement coming across. This guy, he's just got nasty, nasty stuff. My question for you is it Luke Weaver, or do they roll the dice and put Alex Reyes in that starting position?
All indications at this time are that Reyes is going to work out of the bullpen. Until that changes, Luke Weaver's got to be your guy.
I like Luke Weaver. I saw him for the first time in the Arizona Fall League. He was at 96 on the gun, and he looked really good. I saw Alex Reyes also in the Arizona Fall League. And before that, Tim, he's the better pitcher. And, again, he's not really ready, but that stuff is just flat-out nasty. I mean, is he worth an ad in a deeper fantasy league just to get potential holds and strikeouts?
Yeah, and I mentioned exactly what you just said in recommending him for the waiver wire. You don't know. The cards could turn to him. Right now he's scheduled to pitch out of the bullpen. Desperate times, desperate measures. Hey, Reyes could start. Right now I would take Weaver above Reyes, but I would put a bid in on both if I have the bench slot, not knowing what's ahead over the next 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, look, I'm all in on Alex Reyes. I say he's the best pitching prospect in the game. It's my opinion. I also think he's not quite ready because the control was not there. But strange things happen sometimes when guys get promoted to the big leagues, Demi, and all of a sudden the control takes a step up. Yadier Molina gives him a tip here or there, starts putting down the right calls, the right pitch sequences, and all of a sudden, instead of four walks per game, he's at three walks per game, and all of a sudden that's what turns into a number two, number one. So just know that.
Well, and the Cardinals, they're not playing for 2017. They're playing for right now. So that will also change the way they look at both Weaver and Alex Reyes, I think.
Yeah, except they do have Seymour as a guidepost, Emmy, where they brought him up one of the years they were making the run for the World Series. And people don't remember this, Rosenthal and Seymour came up the same year. Rosenthal mm-hmm. was a starter as well. I always think he should have been a starter. I loved his stuff. And they put both of them in the bullpen, and they were coming in. Seymour was the eighth inning guy or seventh inning guy, and Rosenthal was the eighth. It would turn into the ninth inning guy. Carlos Martinez then went to the starting rotation. I think that's what they're going to do with Alex Reyes, but I'd like to see it this year.
Well, yeah, fantasy owners would like it a lot too, but will it happen? I don't think right now that's the plan, but plans change.
Timmy, we always talk about our good friend Marcus Potter whenever we can. The guy's doing amazing stuff. I don't know if you've been keeping up with him. He's been living in London for the last 6 months, I think, and his boogeyman play is out there. And he just got picked up to direct a musical back in New York, I think sometime in the fall. And it's got a lot of big headliners. I forgot who the music is of, but it's I remember. It's not Jefferson Airplane. It's it was like a 70s melody band. I hated the music. I can't remember. But anyway, it was the guy
ABBA?
Who was not ABBA, but like an ABBA. It was one
right.
of those type of things. And apparently he wrote the original score, and he's got some pretty big time actors in it. So congratulations on Marcus Potter continuing to do great stuff. But we always go back to the Potter axiom, Timmy, that is to never ever draft injured players. You just don't do it. And Michael
yep.
Brantley, as you brought up before, is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, you know, how much time have we seen out of Brantley this year? How much time are we going to see moving forward? My guess is very little to none. How's that?
I agree with that, Timmy. And this year it looks like he's done. He's probably gone for the year. But you do worry that, that he'll be – I mean, how good is he going to be next year? Is that shoulder going to be repaired? And we're going to be talking about this in the springtime. Is this somebody that you want to draft?
Well, yeah, I want to see a little bit in spring training next year before I start even looking in his direction. There's a lot of options one can choose when looking at the outfield next year. And, you know, hey, I'm not living the 2015 season. I'm going to be playing for 2017. So I'm going to want to see some very, very good reports on that shoulder before draft season next year. To be interesting.
Tyler Naguentemi has been playing. I actually started him today in my FanDuel thing. It didn't do so hot, but he's slugging .581 with 13 home runs. I never saw a Temi, so I did a little digging for our audience and found out that things aren't so good underneath the covers with Naquin, and that's a 31.3 strikeout rate and a .417 batting average of balls in play. So, Timmy, it just feels like we've got a big correction coming. It's going to be this year or next year, but Naquin is not as good as what he is doing right now. And if he'll be in contention with the Rookie of the Year, but this could be a Chris Coughlin type of thing where the guy has an outstanding rookie year and basically turns out to just be just a guy as opposed to a serious major league player. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think it's a situation where, you know, if you picked him up, you know, hey, you just struck oil. You know, you're into the money. He's playing extremely well. But let's face it, everybody out there as a potential trading partner, if you're looking at moving him or even looking at him yourself, you know, at some point in time, that's, you know, the strikeout rate combined with the bat, but that's got to be cause for concern. But he keeps doing it, and as long as he keeps doing it, you got to keep him rostered and take absolutely everything you can from him.
I agree with you, Tim. What about next year? Is this a guy that you're going to be targeting, or have I convinced you maybe not? I mean, 31% strikeout rate, that's not good.
I own him in a 12-team league, that Rasball league I'm in, and I've had him since day one, basically. We've had him since day one, and I'm loving every minute of it. But the first time that he goes, it's a daily league, the first time that he goes 0 for 12, I'm probably going to cut him for another outfielder. How's that sound?
Yeah, so you're not buying into him long term. I totally agree with you. Timmy, let's move on. Carlos Gomez, the news from the Astros again. They DFA'd him, Timmy. This is a guy, they traded Domingo Santana, Brett Phillips, Josh Hader, and he was terrible. I heard Jeff Luhnow go, well, he had a couple of great at-bats for us. That's really bad, Timmy, when you can say great at-bats and a year and a half of a player. That's not good.
That's a very, very backhanded compliment, wouldn't you say?
What happened, Timmy? I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, not heavy like Prince Fielder. He just, remember how bad he was and how long it took him to develop, and he had those 2 or 3 years, and particularly 2 years, that he was really good. In fact, fantasy, he went in the first round just 2 years ago. And Timmy, I'm not even sure he's ownable anymore.
Well, maybe the bat speed, the thing that drove his game, that was the cause for his success, is the ultimate same cause for his demise.
Yeah, he loves the whale on the ball, Timmy. I mean, this is a guy that does have elite bat speed, and he's always been a little out of control with it, always swinging for the fences. And he got his bat more in control when he was with Milwaukee, but something just fell apart this year. And my question to you, I guess it depends on where he signs. He'll probably do a one-year deal next year. Is this a guy that you would even target next year as a third or fourth outfielder, or are you just going to let him buy?
I'm just going to probably let him slide. I think there's a lot of good options in the outfield. And, you know, hey, if we're talking anywhere after the, say, 17th, 18th round, yeah, sure, I'll throw his name into the pot at that stage of the game. What difference does it make? Most of your picks after round 15, you've already ditched by the end of April anyways. So, yeah, I'll go a long shot on him, but I'm not going to invest anything in him, not at all.
Teoscar Hernandez, Timmy, gets the call in his place, or maybe got it in Preston Tucker's place. It was something like that. But Jeff Luhnow says, no, we're going to go with the hot hand of Jake Mariznick. I looked through his stats, Tim. I don't see any hot hand of Jake Mariznick. So what about Teoscar Hernandez? Do you have in your waiver wire article?
No, not unless he stuck that hand in an oven. I haven't seen anything even warm, Rich. I think Mariznick right now is also hurting a little bit. Hey, you know, he got off to a good start. I love the speed. You know, when you start looking at Hernandez, and this is a question I have for you, You had him in your top 10, I believe, 2 years ago. When he had that horrible year last year, and let's face it, it was a horrible year. I think he batted 219, struck out a ton. This year, he's bounced back incredibly. You know, he enjoyed a super year. I think a 30-plus stolen bases, and the batting average was back up over 300. Was 2015 just a blip on the radar for this young guy?
No, I think it wasn't. I think it was batting average. I'll look it up, but I think it was probably Babbitt-induced, which a lot of times they are. He's not as good as he's not as bad as he was last year. He's not as good as he is this year. He has speed, Timmy. His power hasn't showed up yet. He does have the bat speed, which I like. He's a really good outfielder. But part of the reason he would probably made most top tens, but the Astros are really deep, so he didn't make it in Houston.
Okay.
My guess is he's a 250, 260 batting average guy with 25 stolen bases. The question is, will he get any playing time in Houston long term? And I would say not. Given the depth that they've got in that outfield, and they still got guys coming. I mean, they got to find a place for Bregman and Gurriel at some point. I think you see Bregman in left, and Springer in right field, and that just leaves open, I guess, if Corey Rasmus can get back healthy, him in center field. Maybe they use Teoscar Hernandez next year in center field. I just don't see it, though.
Yeah, you know, the Astros have been pretty adamant that when Gurriel comes up, and that, I believe, is going to be this week, he's going to third base. That's where he's playing.
Right.
It'll be third base DH. Well, you know, that leaves Bregman, who's been playing a lot better lately and seems to be fitting in the two-hole very nicely. That leaves Bregman for the outfield in DH, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
where does that leave Hernandez? I think the kid's going to steal some bases. I'd recommend picking him up for a reasonable price, but I think there's not going to be enough at-bats to go around in that outfield.
Totally agree with you. So Babbitt last year, 264 for Teoscar Hernandez, and AA this year, 350. So
okay.
359 and AA. So the wonderfulness of the Babbitt goes from 305 batting average to 221 batting average. So split the difference, and you're talking a 260 guy. Let's see, the strikeout rate is 33%. See, 24% last year, 17% this year, 10% walk rate. So I mean, he controls the strike zone fairly well. The speed is there. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of power, Timmy. So it's a nice player, but maybe might be a tweener, more of a fourth outfielder long term.
Well, yeah, Colby Rasmus isn't the answer either. That's a short term situation as well.
Colby Rasmus he's in trouble. I mean, the guy's got they think he's got some kind of benign tumor in his ear that he's going to have to get removed because it's given
him. Oh, really?
Spells.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's given him dizzy spells, and so they're thinking he's on the DL now. So apparently, I mean, he just constantly is dizzy. So they're thinking about that he'll have that surgery. So he might not be back the rest of the season. So there's definitely going to be some opportunities for Bregman out there. So I think if you're a Bregman owner, that's going to help you. But if you're a Colby Rasmus owner, I think it's a little dicey for the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, and Bregman could probably play center field too, couldn't he, in a pinch?
Yeah, I mean, it's arguably center field's easier to play than the corners because you're seeing the ball hit straight at you. Bregman's definitely got the arm to play the corners, but, I mean, he's got the speed to play center field, so he just hasn't played. He hasn't played many of us, so you're going to be playing with fire. The question is, will the Astros even – will they be in contention enough for it to really matter? Or are they going to be out of it by the middle of September? I just don't know.
Yeah, you know, the Rangers are playing good baseball right now.
I think the division might be out of reach, but the wild card's probably still in reach for them. So, my guess is they're not going to give up, I mean, particularly after what they did last year. But they've got to find room for Bregman out in the outfield and Springer in the outfield. So you have to figure once Gurriel comes up, those two guys are out there. Then it's splitting time with Colby Rasmus, if he comes back, Jake Marisnik, if he comes back, Teoscar Hernandez. So maybe next year there is an opportunity for Hernandez. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I a small cheap bid, sure, but I would have, if I'm ranking outfielders, one could be chasing this week, he would be definitely behind, way behind both Judge and Austin.
Jonathan Papelbon, Tim, is no more. The asked for his release, and the Washington Nationals gave him the release. And Timmy, does he catch on with anybody? Does he have chance, if he does, to be a closer? I mean, what do you think? Or is it just drop him to the waiver wire, we're done with this guy?
I think he'll end up in Boston again. Simply
really?
Because Boston can use a bullpen arm. And I think Boston has enough strong personalities there that can keep him in line. That would be the only place that I could see him ending up. Personally, it's not a real smart move, Mr. Papelbon, but then you haven't made a whole lot lately anyhow. Well, last time I looked, Washington had a pretty fair team, right?
Yeah, they have a chance to go a long way, Timmy.
Well, yeah, they do, and he's bailing on them?
He has to be traded because he wasn't closing. Now he's asking to be traded because he isn't pitching. So, I mean, he's definitely not a team guy, right? I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyes in his team, isn't there?
Yeah, there absolutely is. So, Timmy, why don't we take a quick little break here, and when we get back, let's go to your waiver wire.
Okay, sure.
I am bringing up the great Tim McLeod's waiver wire, and it's just great stuff. It says, sorry, I'm running late, and it needs some work, but it's always good. And, Tim, you continue to put them in alphabetical order. This is not necessarily order of preference. The list is a little shorter this week, which is great, so we can actually get through it. No, wait a minute. I keep going. Oh, my gosh, it's long. What am I talking about? So, what,
hey,
Carlos,
it's lengthy, but it's not War and Peace like last week was.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon is on this. It's interesting. I thought he'd be owned a lot more than he is. Tyler Austin, Tim, we've already talked about. I'm not sure there's a whole lot to go back through there. We got Kyle Barclough. Is that how you pronounce it? Barclough? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one. I had a hard enough time spelling it. I got to use that copy and paste thingy a bit more, I think.
So A.J. Ramos is out on the, is injured, so he's on the DL. Is Barclough a guy that's going to get the closing opportunities?
I think there's an opportunity there. Who's the current closer there? Wouldn't that be Sir Crooked Cap?
Yes, it is. It's pretty amazing, Timmy. He comes back, and he's been good this year, you have to admit.
Yeah, no, he has, but I guess that just reinforces how little faith I have in Mr. Rodney. That the worst that happens with a guy like this is you end up with, I think, some great peripherals. His strikeout rates have been off the charts this year. Every once in a while, he goes into a funk and can't find home plate with a GPS unit, but hey, the strikeouts are there, and I think it's a decent gamble, that Rodney can't do it. And even if Rodney can't, well, you got yourself a decent setup guy that's going to drive great K rates.
One of the reasons, Tim, you're a better player than me, I don't think Matt Boyd is very good. I've written him off when he was in the minor leagues. And all of a sudden I'm reading your waiver article, and it's 5 earned runs and 4 starts in July, 3 and 2 starts in August. He's coming off a 7-inning, 2-hit shutout in Arlington. And you simply say it's time we give Matt Boyd a little more love. I think you're right.
Well, yeah, you look at Matt Boyd, and I agree with you, Rich. Like, long-term, he's a number 5, okay? But right now he's a number 5 that's pitching really well. So grab him, get what you can out of him, and enjoy every minute of it. Just don't,
yeah.
Like I've said in the past, don't plan on getting married to the guy.
You wrote don't get married to the guy?
No, I didn't write that, but that's
okay,
basically
okay.
In a nutshell. It's not a long-term relationship you're planning with Matt Boyd.
Okay, 91 and a half miles an hour is his four-seamer, Timmy, so he's got to have really good command to be effective. So I agree with the great Tim McLeod. So let me get back over to the notes. And Matt Boyd, C.J. Cron, Timmy. Great start in July, came crashing down. He suffered a broken hand. He is back, though.
Yeah, he's on rehab assignment right now, and I believe he is slated to be returning this weekend back to first base. And I can't help but remember that great run he was on in July. Everybody was rushing to pick him up, and then the broken hand, and it was done like dinner. he's back. If you're looking for some power potential at first base, he's not owned in that many leagues.
Playing more and more of the daily game, Timmy. I always do it the second half just because as my teams get out of and I start to have a little bit more time. Plus, I'm not playing many leagues this year because of all the moves, so I've got some time
right.
to play. I'm throwing – you throw your pitchers at the Angels. Timmy, that's a bad team. They can't pitch. Quite frankly, they can't hit very well either. They're in a funk. It's a really, really bad team.
Yeah, I think Luke Weaver, before his first start, was owned in more leagues than Jeff.
Timmy, I threw guys against Jeff Weaver today. I think it was today or yesterday. I mean, this is what you do. I mean, it's a bad team. I'm actually bringing up they are, Timmy, 49-68. They have the third worst team in the American League, fourth, fifth, sixth. They have the seventh worst record in all of Major League Baseball, and they're right at, you know, becoming the third worst team. And Tim, they have the best player by far in baseball right now.
Well, yeah, 65 wins, over, under.
Let's see, what are they at today? They are at 49, so let's call it 50. So you're saying 16, and that's 50, 118 games in. So they got to win 15 of 118 minus 162, carry the two, that's 44 games. Can they win 15 of 44 games? Yes, they can. I'm going to say 67-68.
I'll take the under on Steak and Liquor.
All righty. That's not a lot of wins, Timmy.
No, we're arguing about a team that has the best, arguably the best player in baseball, winning somewhere between 63 and 70 games. That's not good, is it?
I'm going to take my statement back by far. Mookie Betts is right there, Timmy. This is a guy hit his 20, I think it was, he hit three home runs today, right? So is he at 27
mm-hmm.
or 28 home runs?
I think he's at 27, I think. 26, 27, somewhere in there.
That's pretty darn impressive with 18 stolen bases. Now moved down to the number three hole. This guy's batting almost 320. I mean, if the Red Sox can creep in, at least make it close, he has a really good chance of getting a lot of MVP votes.
Well, yeah, he does. I'm excited for drafts for next spring because the big three, I think, are going to be Trout, Betts, and Altuve. And I'll be very fascinated to see where and how those three go. But they're all legitimate top three players in baseball as far as I'm concerned.
I we talked about that briefly last week. To me, I totally agree with you. I would take Trout number one, but I would not give anybody a bad time for taking Altuve or Mookie Betts number one. I definitely would not.
Well, you know, look at Betts' RBI totals right now, and he's been playing all season basically up until the last week in the leadoff slot. You know, in the three spot, what's his RBI potential? 120?
100? Yeah, 100, 120 for sure. I mean, he's Mike Trout, right?
Yeah, he's gonna get to 100 this year, I think, easily.
You can argue Mike Trout's probably the better defender than Mookie Betts, but offensively, I mean, what he's done this year, and again, Trout's done it for 4 or 5 years now. But, I mean, what Mookie Betts is doing is very Mike Trout-ish.
Oh, very, very much so. If I'm not mistaken, before today's burst by Betts, if you looked at the home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, and I believe it might even be the batting average or OBP, they were basically tied
mm-hmm.
before today's outburst. It was amazing how close the two of them were because I took a look at it.
Betts 26 home runs with this three today, Timmy. 84 with this his eight RBIs today, 84. So this is a guy easy going to get to 100. Easy 30, 120. Oh my,
yep.
That's the number one overall pick. If it wasn't for Trout, and I'll tell you, that's a $45, $50 player.
Well, yeah, it's a matter of picking your poison, and all three of them are equally as lethal. They really are. Altuve, you get the spike in stolen bases, but he's got enough power. And how many runs scored is Altuve going to score this year?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, Timmy, I think, we always like – I love talking about the next year. And this year's almost over, so – I think I want to pick three. I'm going to pick third next year. I want somebody to pick the other two, and I'll take the leftovers and come back and pick two ahead of you next time. That's a position I want.
Oh, Rich. That's the easy way out. Be the leader. Go for the number one pick. Set the table and then let everybody else have the scraps, I say, right?
I am scared, Timmy. I'll take number three. I'll take the number three. Let you do all the hard work for me.
Oh, thanks, Rich. I'll get out the old shovel and we'll dig into that one.
Gurriel is still out there, Timmy. If you want your shot at owning Gurriel, now is the time to be buying. I totally agree with you. Teoscar Hernandez, we've given him a lot of love. Raziel Iglesias, Timmy, has earned his first save of the season last week. You've been saying for, I don't know, 6 weeks that you feel like Iglesias will be the closer there.
Yeah, and, you know, he ended up, I think it was either Thursday or Friday. I can't remember who it was, but they got themselves into a bit of a jam. It was a non-save situation, and there were two outs in the ninth, and who did they make the call to get the third out? Even though it wasn't a save situation, you know, they turned to Iglesias. Now, you have to be concerned whether or not he can do the day-to-day grind, but, man, he's been off the charts good since he's been back in that bullpen. The worst that's going to happen, the way I see it, is you end up with a smattering of saves, great peripherals, great strikeout rates down the stretch, and that's nothing to sneeze at, and the best-case scenario is 5 to 10 saves.
Look at Raziel Iglesias. Look at Luis Severino, Tim. Wait till they put him in the bullpen. You're going to see the same thing. Luis Severino, I gave up 7 runs today in 3-plus innings. I mean, he's not a starter.
No, where is he tonight, Rich?
Is he back in the minor leagues?
Oh, they demoted him, yep.
Yeah, tough going. I love the arm. The arm's great. Here's a guy, Timmy, that it's funny. I'm like looking at this going, oh, my gosh, I've written about Dixon Machado for the last 4 years. He really got promoted?
Yes, Jose Iglesias hit the DL with a hamstring situation. Now, Romine could end up with the bulk of the at-bats, but, hey, Machado started today. I think he went 1 or 2 for 3 with a run scored. Speed looks solid. I think they're going to give the kid a good look.
Yeah, he's got speed, Timmy. Not a whole lot else, but he's probably a utility guy long-term, but from a fantasy standpoint, he's got some speed, so that's a great to see. It's always fun to see guys, Tim, that you've written about for years, and it's like, whoa, he's in. Wow, Dixon Machado, that's great.
Yeah, where'd this come from? It almost makes those 347 articles praising him all that much more worthwhile, right?
Absolutely, Timmy. Angel Pagan, I think he is the most cited person on all your waiver wire weeks, Timmy. People just don't listen to you. He's only owning 37% of CBS leagues. I own him in a couple of leagues, Timmy. I'm very happy as him being my fifth outfielder.
Well, yeah, as a fifth outfielder, he's going to give you the odd stolen base, the odd home run. He's hitting in the two slots, so he's scoring runs, the odd RBI. Perfectly boring. Just don't watch him in the field because, man, it's brutal. He's not a good outfielder.
No, he wasn't a very good outfielder. He was with the Mets as well. By the way, the Mets really reeling, as I indicated before. The Yankees are the team in New York right now. Are they going to have enough to make it to the playoffs, Timmy?
Which one? The Yankees
the
or Mets.
The Mets? The Mets, I'm sorry,
no.
The Mets.
Because the Yankees aren't all that far out of it, really.
No, they're not.
Yeah, you know, they're closer, I think, right now than the Mets. No, I don't think the Mets make the playoffs. I think they're toast.
Yeah. It's a shame. With all that pitching, they can't get any hitting. It's just not good. It's funny because, again, playing a lot of daily recently, their whole lineup is left-handed, Timmy.
Yeah, that presents certain challenges when facing a southpaw, doesn't it?
It really, really does. Martin Prado, Timmy, I think he hit a home run today or something, but Prado posted great numbers July 3rd to the 16th, 351. Hasn't slowed down one iota. Timmy, using the word iota in an article is always impressive. And the Marlins
got
flat out hit, Timmy.
I got that from Star Wars.
I went to the movies today, Timmy.
Oh, okay. And what did you go see today?
We saw a kind of a chick flick. It was about a woman who was a terrible singer. It's played by Meryl Streep, And she was a lousy singer, but it was like the emperor had no clothes. Nobody would tell her she was a lousy singer, and her husband kept her kind of away from that her whole life. And she was a very wealthy woman. She kept putting everybody in her will who would say nice things about her. So everybody basically praised her. So it was a fascinating movie, very well acted. I'm not sure the movie was great, but it was fun, you know. So we had a chance to go see Star Trek and something called The Suicide Squad, and that's what we picked, Tim.
Well, yeah, I haven't been to the movies. It's got to be 5 years now, and I'm going to keep that trend intact. I'm an old tightwad when it comes to the movies. It kills me to go to a movie and pay like $6 for 8 ounces of pop and $12 for a tub of popcorn.
All right, sorry, Timmy, since you haven't been for a while, two small popcorns, which were little tiny bag,
okay,
a bottle of water, and one small pop. How much did that cost the great Rich Wilson? I mean, let me get some thinking. Oh, no, wait a second. You got to get out your calculator there, and let me put the think music on, Timmy. Hold on for a second. Where's the think music? It's all the way down. This terrible radio here. Okay. So, again, Timmy, there was an afternoon matinee, which was $12 to get in, Timmy. That's a matinee for me. $12 per ticket. But two small popcorns, small pop, and a small bottle of water. How much did that cost?
That's the balls on my abacus moving, by the way.
Okay. I hope it is the abacus to me. Just saying. Otherwise, it's TMI.
TMI. Yeah. I'm gonna go with two popcorn, one small pop. $14.
Timmy, it cost me $22. I had to get out the credit card because I didn't have enough cash. I'm like, and I verbally said, seriously? She goes, $22. And so I go, seriously? Like, I was like very surprised. She looked at me like, when's the last time you went to the movie theater? Going, that's a lot of money. I mean, and the popcorn was gone in like 10 minutes.
Jesse James used to wear guns when he robbed the public. Jeez.
I know. That's really not, maybe my town is stuff so expensive. It's one of those movie theaters, Timmy. They have all those stadium seatings. This one's kind of small, so they put they put recliners in there that almost go flat. So so there's not many seats in the theater. So maybe they're pumping up all the treats because they got to make money somewhere.
Well, yeah, that'd be appropriate, though, for a Meryl Streep movie. I sleep through most of them anyway, so at least I'd be comfortable.
Ah, boo. That Big Bang Theory guy.
I do know.
The Big Bang Theory guy, Howard Wolowitz, was on it. He was very funny, Timmy.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll have to. The last one that I saw first, was that Hope Floats or whatever? I still haven't got past the introductory credits. Or was that, I don't know who was in that one.
Meryl Streep
invited me to watch this Hope Floats movie, and like, man, as soon as I hit the couch and I see the title, I fall asleep.
You're recommending Christmas with the Cranks. Come on, I mean, give poor Kathy a chance to watch a Meryl Streep movie. I mean, she's it's a really fun movie. Is that one where she plays who is the famous cook, Tim, the big woman? What was her?
Hazel.
No.
I'm dating myself now, aren't I?
70s sitcom, that's true. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, she played, it was wonderful. That was a great movie. And Devil Wears Prada is a great movie. That was a Meryl Streep movie. So.
Okay. No, I thought that was a baseball movie, and they were talking about Martine, but
that's true.
Delightful.
All right, Tim, we're way off the rails here, so I don't know.
Yes, we have regressed, as you would say.
Brandon Phillips, you also had in there. I missed him. Alex Reyes, we've talked about. Carlos Rodon. I mean, why the heck is Carlos Rodon on this list? Isn't he owned by everybody?
Not according to the numbers I was digging up. A lot of people gave up on him when he struggled in the middle of the season, but he's coming off two good starts. Ventura, it's a second start off the DL, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were his manager, Rich, in that second start, how many pitches would you let him throw, a 23-year-old coming off the DL?
I would let him throw no more than one. I would think probably more like did he have a minor league outing? Probably 75 to 80 pitches, something like that.
Yeah, Ventura woke up once he got to 122.
You're kidding, really?
No, I'm not kidding. 122 pitches. If he can survive 122 pitches, he's healthy, at least in my estimation. And, isn't that just flat out wrong?
Yeah, was that his last game he pitched, Timmy, or has he pitched a game between?
No, that was the last game he pitched.
Well, you don't want to start him in the next game because his arm's going to be toast.
Well, I'm thinking he's going to build on that great finish we saw last year and stake his claim like he did heading into this year. So I sort of like Rodon, and he's not owned heavily at this point in time. So, hey, a lot of my picks this week, like Phillips and Prado, in 15-team leagues, they're owned, a lot of these guys. But in 12-team leagues, a lot of them are out there. Mm-hmm. And I think there's opportunities right now in 12-team leagues to go with the hot hand. That's why I put some of those names in there.
I think it's a great call, Timmy. Braden Shipley, a tough outing, and then a very, very good outing. I like this kid a lot. He was one of the few pitchers that the Arizona Diamondbacks haven't traded away.
I think he's had two or three good outings now after that first disaster. And for people that, you know, still have that debut fresh in mind, it might be time to revisit a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Luke Weaver, you have it. And Fernando Salas, who is now with the Los Angeles Angels. Houston Street's on the DL. Cam Bedrosian's on the DL. Timmy, are they going to go to Salas for the work?
Well, it's either that or they throw Weaver in the bullpen, so I'm going to bet on Salas. The only thing is I've just said that they're not going to win enough games, so it doesn't really matter anyways, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah, it's true. They're only winning 15 games, so that's only 4 or 5 chances to probably get a save. That's fascinating. So.
Yeah, and by then, his Streeter Bedrosian will be back. You know, he might get you a couple saves in the next week, but, he's a name to toss out there. Hey, for the next week, maybe 2 weeks, until Bedrosian Street get back. Yeah, he's likely the closer, but you're likely not looking at a lot of he's not somebody I'd be investing the farm in.
So, guys, if you want the waiver wire, they will be up. Tim, how long is it going to take you to clean them up before you send them to me?
About 45 minutes.
So they'll be up. We're going to get done in about 20 minutes. They'll be up right after 11 o'clock. So they will be there, Tim, when we get back. One final segment of What Happened to These Guys. Timmy, you study, you analyze, you get the spreadsheet going, you get whatever mechanism you have, you write big block letters, you know exactly who you're going to select, and they just, because the first two or three picks is the most important pick, usually you want to get them right, and it just doesn't work for whatever reason. We talked about Bryce Harper last week, Timmy. Let's do four other guys. Andrew McCutchen, ADP was 14.18. The home runs have been there. This, Tim, I didn't update the numbers. Stolen bases are gone. There's only 5 as of this when I wrote it last time. All the production is off with him batting .241. He's on a pace to strike out 164 times, which he's never even come close to in the past. What do you do if you're an owner? I mean, obviously, you know, do you cross your fingers and hope that he turns it around? Does he turn it around?
Well, yeah, I definitely think you got to be looking at crossing your fingers and hoping to see better things out of McCutchen. He did steal. He did steal a base this week, if I'm not mistaken. You know, in the back of my mind, I keep wondering, is what we're seeing from McCutchen right now a product of his environment and what's going on in Pittsburgh? Is he maybe having trouble with motivation? I know it's his job. He's supposed to be a professional athlete, yada, yada, yada. But the goings-on in Pittsburgh year after year, you think that might be wearing on him a bit? Rich?
What about if I spin it slightly different, Timmy? He signed a very, very team-friendly contract. Maybe he's gone back and said, hey, let's renegotiate, let's give me an extension, and they've said no. Maybe that's weighing on him.
Yeah. I would think there is more than a physical situation at stake here. And you're right. I can't disagree with that situation. Now, granted, hey, he was a big boy. He signed the deal, yada, yada, yada. But that might not make him feel any better about it today, right?
I totally agree with you, Timmy. I mean, it's the question, the first question, is he with the Pittsburgh Pirates next year?
No.
I think he is just because his value is damaged. I think if it would have been up there, I think he would have been moved. But he's only signed for 2 more years, and the Pirates have got to – they got to make hay with him, Timmy, so they have to move him. And I think he does – if he gets moved, I think he plays better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, if I was a player in Pittsburgh, I'd be a little tired of what I've seen over the past couple of years, wouldn't you?
Yep, absolutely. And then you're going to see the same thing with GP in about 3 or 4 years because he signed that team-friendly deal, and they're all going to get tired of it. So, Timmy, if Andrew McCutchen stays in Pittsburgh, is he a top 3-round pick next year?
Not for me. I'm going to buy into upside, and I think there will be options in the first 3 rounds that will have my attention more so than Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, I agree. Jose Abreu, Timmy, ADP was 20.87, on pace for 18 home runs after 2 seasons of 30 home runs. The strikeout rate is about the same as it was last year. Babbitt is reasonable, 308, but lower than the last 2 years. Is this the year that is his baseline, Timmy, or is he just having a down year?
I think he's just having a down year. I think he's a target. He's going to be a target of mine in all likelihood next year. If he slips too far, I'll fill my first base slot in with Abreu, expecting a bounce back into the 25 to 30 home run range.
I'm going to say you are incorrect. Boy, some woman just did a vault. What do they call that, Timmy? A vault when they run up? Vaulting? And
vaulting,
literally,
yes.
Yeah, vaulting. She did a fancy flip in the air, and then she kept flipping when she landed. That wasn't good. I don't think that was in the playlist there, Timmy.
Well, at least she didn't do a face plant.
I think she did a face plant. So they're doing it in slow motion. So big vault. She puts her arms down. She's doing one flip, 2 flips in the air, 3 flips on the feet, and face plant. Except she did tuck her head. She tucked her head, though. So she didn't. But she was heading for – you and I would have done a face plant. She tucked her head and kept on rolling.
I would have done a face plant into the horse. I would have even got that far.
So here's my problem with Jose Abreu, Timmy. He is supposedly going to be 30 years old in January. I say supposedly. A lot of these guys in Cuba, not a little bit older than you think. So I'm a little worried about Jose Abreu going forward.
Does this go into the discussion of big body types?
He's a big body type as well. Yes, he is, Timmy. Not as big as the Prince Fielders of the world. In fact, he's a step down from that. But I do worry about all of it.
Yeah, I think there is cause to worry. I won't... I can't argue with you on that point, but I think he's got a couple more seasons of 30 home run power. So I'd be willing to roll the dice on him. Probably wrong, but I'd still be willing to roll it.
Here's one that's been incredibly disappointing to me. That is Jose Bautista, ADP of 26. Somebody wasted a second round pick. Injuries. I mean, he's out of the DL again. He just hasn't been very good. I mean, his batting average is down to .219. The walks and strikeouts are in line. It's, you know, he's got a .225 batting average, but Timmy, I don't feel good about it. This is a guy who's, 36 years old in a contract year, and this is what he's doing.
Yeah, just a hunch, but I don't think he's going to get that 25 over 4 or 5 he was looking for, Rich.
I do not think so, Timmy. So, again, a guy who went, what did I tell you, is another second-round guy, 26.43, so the end of the second round. I don't think somebody's going to – you can't draft this guy next year before the 4th or 5th round.
Well, and unless you're drafting him on his age 32 season, yeah, that's correct. And I don't draft based on what a guy did 2-3 years ago. I don't own Bautista in any leagues.
I don't draft guys this old anymore. I mean, he's going to be 36 next year, Timmy. In fact, he turns 36 in October. Not a guy – I'm sorry, I'm not interested.
No, that's a pass for me, too. If I can get him in the 15th round,
yeah, well,
as my potential you know, like I did with David Ortiz, was it 2-3 years ago, coming off that bad season. It worked out well. I got him for a cheap price, you know, and made hay with it. But somebody's going to draft Jose Bautista a lot earlier than that year I lucked out into David Ortiz. And I'm not going to pay the price for him. He's going to go before Scott Piscotty. I would rather own Scotty Piscotty.
Timmy, the last two guys are pitchers, and these two guys have been just – it's been tough, Timmy. And I don't understand the first guy, and that's David Price, ADP of 35.46. He was the eighth pitcher off the board. You got him as your number one guy. Strikeouts, good. 9.32 per nine. The ERA, Timmy, has been 4.3. The xERA is a run lower, so you hope that that's going to correct a little bit. But the question is, will it? We've been waiting all season for it to correct, and it just hasn't.
No, it hasn't. I can remember the one league that Buck Davison and yours truly, we've dominated for years. We took Bryce as our safe first pitcher, and right now we have 3 points in ERA and 3 points in WHIP.
Yep.
He has killed fantasy teams this year, and you know, is he going to bounce back? I think the thing that troubles me the most is, you know, we've seen brilliance, and then we've seen, like, even in his last start, I think he allowed two or three earned runs early, and then he settled in. You know, the start before that, I'm just looking at now, against LA, you know, 6 runs over 5 innings, 3 earned runs. 2 games before that, 8 innings of shutout ball. The game before that, 5 2/3, 11 hits in back-to-back outings against Minnesota and the Yankees, where he allowed 11 hits. The game before that, July 10th, 8 innings, 4-hit ball, 10 strikeouts. He's all over the map, and that really concerns me. There is absolutely no consistency whatsoever out of David Price this year.
I am not drafting him next year at all, Timmy. I'm just going to take a pass. No way.
No way, no how. He ain't going to be on any of my teams next year. It's just not going to happen. I think the thing, if he was consistently bad, yeah, I could live with it, but he's all over the map. There's got to be something wrong that's causing him to be all over the map like that.
Yeah, Pat Corbin, he's not. I mean, at least Patrick
yeah.
Corbin, you know it's going to be bad every time he goes out there. But I think I'm going to actually start Patrick Corbin this week, Timmy, having said that. So I don't know why I'm starting him. I think he has a juicy matchup that there's no reason to own him in a 15-team
Rick?
League if I'm not going to start him against this guy. What?
I think they put him in the bullpen.
Did they really? Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I think they finally ended both their suffering
and
his
mine.
Suffering. Yeah, and yours. I own Corbin in like 5 leagues. He was one of my picks to click this year, and terrible, terrible. I don't know what went wrong there, but I'm going to blame it on Dave Stewart just because I can.
Timmy, probably the worst of the worst, though, in my humble opinion. Maybe it's because I have personal – this is just a brutal thing for me. Dallas Keuchel, an ADP of 44.8. So he went as your last stud. He was like number 14th, 15th starting pitcher off the board. I know we talked about him a ton, but the only good thing that's happened to Dallas Keuchel, in my humble opinion, was this week where he gave up 5 earned runs in 2 innings and the game was rained out and it didn't count. That's the only thing good I've seen this whole year.
Excuse me. Well, you know, I own Keuchel in about 4 leagues, okay? And I think the best I'm doing in any of those 4 is somewhere around 15th.
It's terrible, too. It's brutal.
It's brutal, and he's another one, okay? You take a look, okay? Starting on June 29th, okay? He went 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm just counting up here, 5 games, okay? 6 innings in all 5 of those games. Didn't allow any more than 2 earned runs. Okay, then we go to July 31st, the 6th game against Detroit. He allows 7 earned runs. The game after that, August 5th, 9 innings, 3 hits, complete game shutout, 7 Ks. The game after that, hey, it was the highlight of his season. It got rained out. And he's another one, Rich, that's all over the map. And it's hard to own pitchers. You know, be consistently bad, consistently good, or consistently mediocre but don't bounce back and forth. Those games where pitchers allow 7 and 8 earned runs, like Greinke today. Did you catch that performance?
I did. I was watching a little bit of it, Timmy. It just, you know, the Red Sox just jumped all over him.
Well, yeah, you know, his owners tonight, you know, they're being talked down off the ledge. You know, what do you do? A guy that you paid good money for, an ace, you know, granted bottom tier of the ace starters, and he allows, what, 8, 9 earned runs in an inning and a third? Like, man, whoever owns Zach Greinke today, they didn't kiss their hopes goodbye. He's shattered dreams.
Yeah, well, I lost a Twitter follower, I'm assuming, Timmy, because he asked me, Zach Greinke and a couple of other pitchers, and I still said, well, you got to go to the two-star with Zach Greinke. So he hates me right about now.
Yeah, well, on a positive note, that's one less question you have to worry about next week, correct?
That's true. So, but here's Dallas Keuchel's been brutal. I'm a little concerned, though, Timmy, just when I take a look underneath the stats. So his walk rate is up to 2.73, and you go, well, that's still good. It's still that's above average walk rate. So if you take a look at 3 per 9 is where that's kind of what you want for a quality starter. You go, well, that's still pretty good. But Tim, when you are throwing 90 miles an hour, you got to have elite control, because if you don't have control,
right,
you don't have command, which means you're throwing the ball where you want it. That's the reason Dallas Keuchel was good. Here's another concern. His fastball is down from 90.37 last year to 89.1. So he's a lefty, so you can pitch with lesser velocity. But Tim, if you're not going to have elite command and control and you're going to throw 89 miles an hour, that's a recipe for a 4.86 ERA, and that's what we got.
Well, exactly. The only way I'll own him next year is if he shaves and I don't recognize him on draft day.
That's right. Because it's funny, different with batters versus pitchers. I mean, certain guys you're just not going to own, because if you're in a rotisserie league, he's just going to crush your ratios and dig you such a hole you'll never get out of it.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm used to getting off to a slow start. It's a tradition of mine. I never get off to a good start in fantasy leagues. For the most part, I end up working my butt off all year on the waiver wire and going from there. But you can only dig the hole so deep, and once it gets over your head, man, you can't climb out.
Yeah, absolutely true. Timmy, that's our show, man. It was a really fun show. We kept it to an hour and a half, and I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, an hour and a half. That is excellent. We're gonna actually sign off pretty well at the same time as Blog Talk kicks us off, right?
That's true, and I have not been able to look at the chat room, so it's for some reason didn't come up on my computer. But I can waste 2 or 3 minutes of time, Tim, just to get us over time. If you like, I have a story for you.
Okay, I'm all into stories, Rich. Tell me a story, Rich.
So Tim, we're in this apartment, and we love the apartment. It's so much fun.
Right.
I mean, we walk to the movie theater. We walk to dinner afterwards. This town is fantastic. Every once in a while, well, Saturday nights, you hear the partiers out there, and there's vomit along the street. You know, so there's that. But, you know, that's to be expected. We kind of knew that coming in. But one of the unique aspects, our apartment is three basic rooms. It's the living room area with a kitchen. One bedroom on one side and another bedroom on the other side. The master bedroom is the one that's on the other side. And, Timmy, it's about 3 to 4 degrees warmer than the rest of the house. So we've had the super in, and he's cleaned out the ducts. And he says, I don't know, cold air blows out. But it's like as soon as the air goes off, again, we have air conditioning, it like warms up almost immediately. And it's really weird.
Are all your ducks in a row?
Yeah, all the ducks are in a row. So Lori and I were talking, and she goes, could it be maybe because we're on the second floor, could it be that maybe one of the businesses underneath of the bedroom is, you know, maybe warm, and it's maybe the ovens or something, it's warming up the room. I go, well, which business is under there? She goes, I don't know, because we never really looked.
Right.
So, Timmy, so the day we go out for a walk, and I say, hey, let's go by and see what the business underneath our apartment is. Timmy, I'm going to give you 3 guesses, and because we think we've hit upon something. I'm going to give you 3 guesses.
Okay.
What kind of business do you think is under my bedroom?
I'm going to go with a bakery, deli, Or a dry cleaning service.
Good. Two very good guesses. Timmy, the one that's actually under our apartment is almost too funny to even, you wouldn't believe it if I told you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Tim, are you familiar with yoga?
Well, yeah, and boo-boo. I watched that cartoon when I was a kid.
So yoga in general, Tim, use mats, is very tranquil. You want to have very calm, peaceful, you know, kind of existence.
Right.
Our yoga place, which is right underneath our bedroom, is a hot yoga place, Timmy, where they keep it 90 degrees in there, so you do yoga as you sweat. So it's a sauna that's underneath of our apartment where we sleep. I'm like, really? So
I'm thinking you've latched onto a possible cause for that heat discrepancy. Would that be correct?
I it's so funny. The place that's underneath our other two rooms is actually they call it wine and painting. So you go in and drink wine and you paint. In fact, Lori and I are going to go down and do painting. I don't think it's paint by numbers, which is all I can do, but apparently you drink wine and you paint. So we're doing that in a couple of weeks. But a hot yoga place underneath my apartment. Too funny, Tim. So that's my story. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, well, it sort of explains things, but... yeah, and, you know, let me know how that hot yoga works out for you and Lori, Rich. I can hardly wait to hear that story.
We don't even have to pay to go to hot yoga. We have hot yoga in our bedroom. It's just like, wow, it's hot. It is, because the guy came over, the super came over with his fancy thermometer, and it was like, it's like 70 degrees in this room, and he goes over, and it's 73.8 degrees in this room. And it's like, yeah, why is that? He goes, I have no idea. Now we know.
Yep, now you know, and best laid plans of mice and men. Hey, I would think, though, your landlord can find some way to rectify that.
We'll throw out the hot yoga place, have cool yoga?
Exactly, yeah. You know, just tell them to not be so hot with their yoga and all that stuff, right?
Exactly. Timmy, that's a wrap, man. Do you got anything that you want to promote this week?
Promote this. I just want to give a shout out to one of the regulars on the Facebook page, Yoram Batner, a fellow Canadian out of Southern Ontario. He posted on the page today that he is, as of 4 o'clock this afternoon, first overall in the NFBC. Pretty impressive.
Wow, that's fantastic. He plays in one of our dynasty leagues. Good for him in the main event.
In the main event. I think he said there's a $28,000 first prize or something like that. So
That's not the main event. That's probably the draft and hold thing. That's impressive nonetheless. Way to go. I think he goes by Yo. That's what everybody calls him, Yo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I've known him for years. He has a bookstore just north of Toronto.
Really?
No, I just thought time for a shout-out for Yoram. A good, great accomplishment. And he's a good player. He's been playing a long time.
That's fantastic. Tim, is he going to give us any credit for it? Is he going to give us any of his winnings?
I'm thinking the answer to that is probably no, Rich.
It's not good.
No, I check the mailbox every day for, unsolicited donations. And
it's not there.
Well, no, but the bills still keep coming in.
That's right. Timmy, it's been a blast, man. Thanks for everything you do. Guys, look for Timmy's Waiver Wire article in about an hour out on the site, and you'll see the email going out to everybody tomorrow morning.
Thanks a bunch, Rich, and I'm off to get that all wrapped up so we can get it on the site. Have a good week.
Be well, Timmy.